Good morning. We'll be in Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 24 through 33. This is kind of in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus has given. But before we hop into that, let us pray. Dear Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Lord, we ask that you bless the reading of your word. Father, that what your word brings to us this morning rings out into our lives and draws us closer to you, Father. That this time is set apart to honor you and to praise you, Father. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and it's through your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. All right, well, I feel like a Christmas tree almost. I got green on, I'm sunburnt. We was at the ballpark all day yesterday. I got a red face. I feel like I wore my Christmas clothes. It's good. But going into Matthew 6, verse 24, it says, "No one can serve two masters, for either they will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow, nor they reap, nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they?" Verse 27 says, "And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glories was not arrayed like anyone else. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown out into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all." Verse 33, "Yet but seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, for all the things will be added to you." So we're going to look at three different things in here, and we're going to start in verse 24. And it's saying that you can, verse 24 is saying you cannot serve two masters, you can only have one. And that, I mean, that's really true in anything we look at, and especially if you're a follower of Christ. He says, you know, you're either for me or you're against me. But in this, he specifically brings out money, and we could put many things into that, and it'd still be the principle would be the same. The Lord could have said, your comfort or your image, your relationships, success, health, knowledge, food, whatever it is, you cannot serve that thing and me. So the Lord we're talking about has our highest allegiance, right? He is the Alpha, he is the Omega, he is the Supreme, he is our everything. But sometimes we don't act like that. We don't follow that, right? I mean, we live in the South, and in the South, especially during wintertime, we got college football. We got sports. We got high school football. We got all kinds of things that consume our time and our life. And we put precedence on a lot more than God. And that's myself included. I mean, I spent all day yesterday at a ballpark cheering on my daughter, which is a good thing. Don't hear me say that's not a good thing. That is a good thing. But that is not the ultimate thing, right? I don't personally think that I have ever sat one day, one whole day anywhere and had the Bible read to me, and just sat there and marinated in God's word and been there. I don't think that I've ever spent one solid day on my knees in prayer praying for one particular thing. I don't think I've ever spent one full day sitting there in worship of our God. And that's the reality of the world that I live in, that is truthful, that is being honest. And that's a hard pill to swallow sometimes, because there's so much I can devote my day to. I can devote my day to sports. I can devote my day to my family. I can devote my day to watching TV. I can devote my day to cleaning my truck or cutting the grass or whatever it may be, right? But God tells us He is our ultimate. And if He is our ultimate, then why do we not devote that time to Him? Why is it so hard for us to carve out time for Him? Now, let's not get it twisted. Family is good. Sports are okay. Cutting the yard, I can live without it, but it'll get done, right? So there, God tells us, hey, you have to serve others. You're supposed to serve your family. You're supposed to minister. You're supposed to spread the gospel. These are the things that you are supposed to do. But it's coming from Him. It is His will being done in that, not ours. We do that with humility. We do that in a heart of service for Him, to bring Him glory, to bring Him honor, and not just for ourselves, right? So there's kind of a fine line there, because you can go between, hey, this is honoring God, this is for His glory, and then this is for my glory. This is what I want to do. This is how I can make it known instead of making God known in that. So how do we handle that? How do we juggle those decisions and those thoughts and keeping God in the forefront of everything we do? There's a couple of questions I got that, you know, I kind of run through my life and through my head when I'm doing things. And the first one is who am I willing to disappoint by my decision? Because ultimately, if you're making a decision, somebody somewhere is going to be hurt. And especially when it's coming to family. Hey, am I going to do something that I'm willing to hurt my family? Am I going to say no to my family about something? Ultimately, because it don't line up with God's will. Am I going to tell my family, no, we can't do that, because we need to go to church, we need to be in the Father's house, we need to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ? Or am I just going to let it slide because we was up late on a Saturday night, because we're not up to the goal, because we're just being lazy? The second thing is, where do I find my sense of security? So where do we run to whenever we're afraid of something? Where do we find our security at? I mean, there's a lot of different things, especially in the United States. We find security in our freedoms. We find security in the Second Amendment. We find security in being with family. We find security in being with friends. We find security in being secluded. We find security in so many different things. But ultimately, God's our security. That's where we should run to whenever we feel out of whack, whenever we feel afraid, whenever we don't feel right, whenever we're confused, whenever we have anxiety, whenever we are just at a loss of words. He should be our security. Now, reading the Bible and looking through it, and it never once tells us that, hey, you know, I'm not going to be there. Never once does the Bible say that God will not be there to help us. Never once does it say that, hey, I'm going to put you through something and I'm going to leave you there. Back in the Old Testament, he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for God is with me. And I think we lose focus on that one part, for God is with me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for God is with me. How many of us have we been through that valley? Have we been through some trying time? I mean, I can recall my dad dying. I can recall my grandmother dying. I can recall my brother dying. I can recall all these tragic things. And looking back through it, I can see God at play in all of that. He was with me. I know he was with me. The outcome would not have been the same if he was not there. And I mean, there's so much going on, not only in our nation or in our church, in our community, in our lives. There is so much happening at such a quick pace that sometimes we lose focus that God is there. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, he is there with you. Not only with you, he is there comforting you. We have to look for him. We have to follow him. We have to see what his will is and all that. And no, it's not easy. It's not easy to step back from it and be like, God, it's yours. Help me, Lord. Especially growing up in the South, as a guy, we're programmed to fix things. No matter what it is, it don't matter if it's a broken car, a down tree, a relationship, we are programmed to try to fix things. But a lot of times, instead of fixing it, we screw it up. Because we don't step back and be like, God, this is yours. And I mean, sometimes there's just that time where you need to step back and trust God and know that he is with you no matter what you're going through. The next thing is what are my dreams? What are your future? And this one kind of coincides with the next one that says, does my highest goal look exactly the same as someone that don't know Christ? So does the end goal for my life look the same as the end goal for somebody that don't know Christ? Hey, is my end goal to be a good CEO? Is it to be a good football coach? Is it to be a good softball coach? Is it to be a good dad? Is it to be a good person? Or is it to be able to say, I've gave Christ everything I could give him? I trusted Christ with everything that I could. I honored God with everything that I had. I love God with all my heart, with all my soul. And when I get there, I know he will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And that's a tough pill to swallow because the world tells us that we need to do this, this, and this to be successful. But moving into verses 25 through 32, we see something contrary to all of that. No matter what the world tells you that you need to do to be successful, Jesus tells us right here that he provides everything for his creation. He gives the birds their food. He gives the grass everything it needs. He clothes the lilies. He does everything for his creations. And the funny thing about that is earlier we'll see that we are created in Christ's image. We see that in Genesis. He made us in his image. So it tells us, well, how much more valuable are you than the birds, than the grass, than the lilies? We are made in Christ's image. We get treatment from Christ that even angels don't get. Let's step back. Let that sink in. We get privileges that even the angels don't get. If we think about it and we look back at the Bible, angels are not given grace. They are not forgiven. Right? Even Lucifer, the devil, he is a fallen angel. But yet we are set apart. Christ, God sent Christ to die on the cross for us. Not for the angels, not for the demons, not for anything else, but for his humans that he created. For me, for you, for us. He is giving us everything. He's made a way for us to be redeemed. He's made a way for us to be with him. If he's going to go through all that, if he's going to put his son on the cross, just so we can have a way to know him, what makes us think that he won't give us the food we need, that he won't give us the shelter we need, that he won't give us whatever it is we need, food, shelter, clothing, money, water, whatever it is, as long as we follow him and do his will. Back when I went to Peru for my first time, and I've only been twice, and I know several of y'all have been a lot more than me, and that is just what it is. But when I went to Peru my first time, the plane ride down there, and then the journey up the mountain, and all that was great. But getting up there and actually getting there and being there where you have to rely on God, that was something that it strips away everything that I ever thought I could do, because it put God in a whole new perspective to me. It made me rely on him more than I ever had, more than I ever will probably up to this point, because he took everything that I thought I knew and he took it away from me. I couldn't even talk to the people without leaning on somebody else, much less offer to help, much less ask for food, much less try to find clothing if I needed it. I mean, everything was stripped away from me at that point, so I had to rely on somebody else. And God provided those people for me. Hey, we had a translator. Hey, we had somewhere to sleep. Hey, I had people I knew there with me. And God provided all of that before we even got there. So that kind of brings up him providing for us in every aspect of our life. It's not just on a mission trip, but what does he do for us in our daily lives? I mean, look back, he's given us, in this country, we have the opportunity to work, to make a living, to do all these things that a lot of other places don't get. And we take that for granted a lot of times. There's a lot of things in there that we just take for granted because we think it's owed to us. If I work hard enough, if I do good enough, I can make enough money. If I work harder than the next guy, if I'm better than them. But that ain't always the case. And God don't tell us to be like that. He tells us to be humble. Whatever he provides for us is to give him the praise, to give him the honor, to give him the glory. The last thing here, it says in Matthew 6:33, it's talking about the seeking the kingdom of God. So reading this and looking to seek the kingdom of God, this ain't playing hide and seek. And I mean, I remember as little kids and even playing with Riley and Reese, playing hide and seek, going to hide. Hey, look, let's just be honest. God ain't hiding in the closet. He ain't hiding in the laundry room. He ain't hiding down the spooky hallway in the church. He's not hiding. He's right there. All we have to do is look for him. That's why it says seek the kingdom of God. It don't say find it, then seek it. It just says seek. Look for it. He's given us a clear path to find him. There, Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one finds the Father except through me. He's made it clear. He's made it easy. He's made it known which way it is to him. He's right there. He's calling us. He's telling us how to find him. He's asking. But we're the ones that have to make the move. We're the ones that have to look. So if we seek him and his kingdom, he provides. And not only will he provide here on earth, but he provides for us in heaven. We're supposed to look for him in all things that we do to honor him. And it ain't because of the things that he gives us or the things that is promised. It's not because of anything else other than he is there. And I think we lose focus on that. There's a song called Clear the Stage by Jimmy Needham. And it talks about just that. It basically, is Jesus enough? Hey, if there wasn't lights, if there wasn't a microphone, if there wasn't other people around, would Jesus still be enough? Hey, if we didn't live in the United States under comfort, if we didn't have cars and clothes, if we didn't have sports on Saturday, if we didn't have all the things we are used to, is Jesus still enough to make you want him? And that's the question. That's the call. Is he enough? Is it God? Or is it something else? Is it money? Is it fame? Is it fortune? Is it being good at something? Or is it all about God and honoring him? And making his kingdom known. Making his kingdom famous. And doing the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the earth as he calls us to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Matthew. Thank you for the Sermon on the Mount, Father. Lord, as we take this time to acknowledge you and your word and what you've done for us, Father, Lord, I pray your spirit convicts us of where we fail you, Father. I pray that your spirit is a work is alive in us, that we know who you are, Father, that we live out your will, Father, that we humble ourselves to the point that you are enough, that you are more than enough, Father, that there is nothing else other than you in our life that we are seeking to glorify. And we can do that through our family. We can do that through our work. We can do that through our sports. We can do that through everything that we do. But it all goes back because you are enough, Father. Lord, during the time of prayer, Father, whatever you are laying on our hearts, I pray that we put it down at your feet, Father. that we lay it down at the cross, and that we don't come pick it back up, but it's there, Father, that we leave it for you. Whatever is in between us, whatever in between us as people getting to you, Father, Lord, I pray that you knock that out of the way, that people see you clearly, Father, that there is no other choice to decide because they know you are there, that they know you are calling them, that they know who you are. Father, you are not hiding from us, but rather you are hollering for us to come to you. Lord, you have given us every opportunity to acknowledge who you are. And Father, that's what we are doing in this place right now. Father, we acknowledge that you are God, that you are the ultimate, that you are the Alpha, the Omega, that you are the Supreme, that you are everything to us, Father. Lord, help us shake off the chains. Help us find you and be with you. Father, if we are in a valley, be there with us. Know that we comfort us. Let us stay there till we find you, Father. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and it's through your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.